midway 15:48 in the time, 2 minutes to 2 on this Mubarak day of Ramadan, the second of Ramadan. And with us in the studio, our guest who always comes to our assistance and helping us along, Mufti Ilyas. And inshallah, we'll be taking on your calls this afternoon. So if you have any queries pertaining to Ramadan, we've had a number already coming in, but please feel free to dial. The number to dial is 854-6854. The number again, 854-6854. Or you could fax us on 854-7022 or 854-7023. Or email us at info@radioislam.org.za. So that is Mufti Ilyas, who will be with us in the studio for the next hour and 10 minutes, inshallah. And thereafter, we have our pledge line. This afternoon's pledge line has been dedicated to the people in Afghanistan. So, inshallah, I know that you always have been generous in your support. And inshallah, this afternoon, you definitely will continue supporting this worthy cause. And that is for the plight and the people out in Afghanistan. And that is at about 3:15 this afternoon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Ilyas, sir. JazakAllah for being with us this afternoon. And I don't know, are you going to talk to us first, or I have a number of questions ready for you? What do you want to do?
I think we go to the questions immediately.
Okay, fine. So the first question that has been, and this came in during the week, is, can a woman give fidya for fast that she has missed if she is fit?
Fidya, first of all, let us explain what is fidya. Fidya will be given by a person who cannot fast, meaning the person is old, elderly, feeble, has got a valid Shari reason for not fasting, and is extremely weak and cannot keep the fast. So the person will give a fidya, an amount which is equivalent to sadqatul fitr. An easy method of learning it is the sadqatul fitr. Last year it was about 850. I do not know what is the Jamiat figure this year.
I may come, it is 9 rand.
It is 9 rand.
Inshallah.
So alhamdulillah, 9 rand. So fidya for this year, that is 2001, will be 9 rand per fast. Now if a person gives fidya, a person was very sick, and so sick that he or she felt that he will not recover. So in that case, the person is permitted in the light of Sharia to give fidya. However, understand the law, that a person was extremely sick and gave fidya. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is all powerful and all merciful, gave that person good health. Now that person will have to keep the qaza of those fasts. Although fidya was given, now the person will have to give, will have to make do, will have to compensate by actually fasting. So the question posed, Ismail, here is,
can a woman give a fidya for a fast missed if she is fit?
Okay, now she has become fit. So that is the typical case which I'm talking about. And the person must have given the fidya when she was not well, thinking that she will never ever recover from that ailment or sickness, and by the will of Allah and mercy of Allah, she recovered. But she had given her fidya. So at that time of giving the fidya, it was valid. Now we will say that she will keep the qaza of those fast. She will have to keep the qaza of those fast, one on one. Qaza means one on one. Yeah, I could just digress a little bit, that let's say a person, for some shari valid reason, let's say pregnancy, a lady was pregnant, and because of her ill health, she decided not to fast. First of all, let me explain that she goes to a medical practitioner who says that you should fast or you should not fast, or it's left to you. In the light of Shariat, we will say that although Shariat has given the concession for 10 people not to fast, for 10 of them not to fast, it is permissible for them not to fast and to make up the fast later, this pregnant woman, she has to make a fatwa for herself. She must make a decision for herself. She should try to fast, If she cannot manage, then she should not fast and alhamdulillah make do when she recovers. Here she must rely on her own assessment. That is the best way to do it. However, now she misses, let's say, 20 fast, and Ramzan goes away with the help of Allah, she gives birth and she recovers. Now she has to make qaza. She has to make qaza of 20 fast. Remember, these 20 fasts need not be done one after the other. It is not kafara this. These are qaza fasts. These 20 fasts, because she missed it due to a valid reason, she does not have to now keep 20 fasts one after the other. She may keep one fast, two fast this month, three fast next month, so that by the next Ramadan comes, she is ready now, she does not have any qaza fast to keep. Please explain that.
Yes, JazakAllah for that one. There's another question that came in. It says a mother is 78 years old and she's deaf and dumb. She cannot perform her salah on her own unless she follows someone. Thus far, she has fasted in Ramadan previously. Now, in this Ramadan, she is not going to fast, that's due to ill health. What is the ruling regarding her salah and her siyam? So, that's what it says above.
Okay, as far as the salat is concerned, although she is deaf and dumb, then we make dua and we hope she can read by explaining to her via the written material that she should perform her salat and she does not have to follow anybody. Because deaf and dumb does not now make one incapacitated to that extent, yet someone has to follow another person. She can perform her salat. So that takes care of her salat. As far as her fasting concerned, her soul is concerned, that if she is now weak, feeble, incapacitated, and cannot manage the fast, then fidya should be given, one for every fast missed, 8 rand should be given.
JazakAllah for that. Yes, I'm not sure if this question, but I think it also, perhaps this lady was always following someone in her salah. So in this case, the person is not, I think that is the question that's being asked here.
When they talk of always phoning, always following, then they should try to contact us later on and explain in detail what they mean by always following. Then I can make a ruling and a decision.
So if the sister is listening in and if you'd like a further explanation, please, you could contact us after this program. The number to dial later on 85470 2203 with us for a couple of minutes after this program. The next one is, can you watch TV and sport in Ramadan? You want me to go through all three questions?
No, no, one at a time. So that we can watch one at a time. TV, a person, can you watch TV, meaning sports and?
Just sport in Ramadan. Can you watch TV and sport in Ramadan?
TV and sport in Ramadan.
No, I'm not sure, sorry, if I may come. If it's TV, is sports on television, or is it television and sports going to a sports venue? I'm not sure about that.
Okay. So the person should have asked firstly that, can you watch television? Then you should ask the question that, what can you watch on television? Sport on television? The third question you should ask that, can we watch any sport? So there are many questions here. However, if a person watches television in Ramadan in the state of fasting, this will not break the fast. This will not invalidate the fast. But definitely the person will be wasting time. And to waste time in this month of Ramadan is to miss an opportunity of devotion, ibadat, and gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So watching television generally, let alone in Ramadan, watching television generally will be wasting of time, wasting of energy, and also that a person can utilize this time for valuable other activities which will benefit him in this world, in the grave, and in the akhirah. However, if a person watches television, this will not invalidate the fast, but spoil the spirit of the fasting and spoil the worthiness of the fasting he should definitely abstain and get into the habit of not watching television at all, especially during these times when most of these television programs are totally immoral, immodest, and also have got an indoctrinating underlying message to the masses to such an extent over television that lies are spoken, lies are being shown, that a person who is viewing it becomes indoctrinated with the wrong information.
Jazakumullah for that. The number to dial this afternoon is 8546854. With me is Mufti Afzalullah Ilyas, and we're taking on your calls pertaining to any aspect of Ramadan. Any aspect of Ramadan, inshallah, Mufti Afzalullah will try and attempt or try to answer your question. The next one is, what is the ruling that a person is performing salah and making dua and someone else is watching TV in the same house?
In the same house or the same room?
I think the same house.
The person who's making salah and making dua, he should first of all request that the people in that house should not be engaged in this futile, vain, baseless activity of watching television. Because definitely it is going to invoke or call upon the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the person who is making his salat in that home where there is a television, his salat is valid, and if he makes dua, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua. But he should make an effort to try and see that they do not switch on the television while he is there, or let television be playing during any time of the day.
The next one is, a sister does know how to read the Arabic text of the Quran, but if she reads the translation, will she be rewarded?
As far as recitation of Quran al-Kareem, we should understand very carefully that the reward mentioned in the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to and pertains to recitation of the Arabic, as refers to the original, meaning the Arabic. And the hadiths clearly denote that if a person, for example, reads one letter of the Quran, then he will be rewarded 10 times. So the reward and the sawab pertains directly and linked and attached directly to the Quran, which is in Arabic. This person here who is reading the translation, first of all, this is a very good month. No matter what is your age, how old you are, you should learn how to recite the Quran al-Kareem in the Arabic language. And there is tremendous reward recorded in the hadith of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if a person struggles and recites Quran al-Kareem with difficulty, he'll be rewarded twice. Because this person here is making an effort and exercising his energy and using it in the right direction to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, by having difficulty reciting the Quran in Arabic, will be rewarded double fold. Yeah, the person... You want to take a call, please?
Yes, I think we can just take that call. We've got an anonymous brother online. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam. This is a question to Mufti Sabir. Mufti Sabir, apparently you are answering a question regarding the television.
Yeah.
And your answer to the defect is that it is a waste of time and whatever. The answer from Islamic point of view, there's nothing like wasting time or whatever. I'm just going to find out from you. Is it permissible, is it permissible to see television? Right. Number two, if it's not permissible, how can we turn on and say that you're a waste of time? You know, because the question is posed that can a person see television in Ramadan when he's got roza?
Yeah.
Right? The question could be this thing here that I would like to find out from you, Mufti Sahab.
Yeah.
That, you know, you've answered the question in this sense here that it is a waste of time and you should not see it in whatever view. The end I want to find out from you, Mufti Sahab, is this, that is it permissible to see television? Yes or no? From an Islamic point of view, we cannot say that it's a waste of time or not. Either it is yes, jais or not jais. No, that's my question. I'd like to find out from you, please.
Okay.
JazakAllah for your call.
Hold on, please.
You
want to
hang on the phone?
Yes.
Okay,
not
a problem.
See, one is that I understand what you want me to answer. I answered from the validity point of view of the faster. For example, in the hadith it comes, if a person backbites, then although backbiting is a sin, backbiting is a clear sin, slander is a clear sin. And if a person, for example, in the state of fasting engages in some interest transaction, an interest transaction is haram, but this will not invalidate his fast per se. The fast will be valid, but that act there which is haram, that act there which is not permissible, that is a different issue. Yeah, as far as television is concerned, that whether it is permissible to see it or whether it is not permissible to see it, there is some difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Most of the ulama, understand me, most of the ulama say that it is not permissible to watch television. There is a fine minority with so many restrictions. They add so many restrictions and they then say that you can watch a few things on television. And that is a minority that is saying that, would so many riders and clauses attach to their fatwa of permissibility, which is restricted and limited.
Yeah, but then, okay, what next question posed to you then, Mufti Sahib, that, like you said, minority.
Yes.
Are they from the majority school of thought, or which school of thought are they? Are they from the Arabian school of thought? We know for the fact the Arabian school of thought, a lot of them are saying it's permissible. And you find those people on the sideline, neither here nor there, beat me, let the air. They don't know where they are standing. Are they the minority people are saying, you know, we've got to get our facts straight. Either we've got to tell a guy that, listen, you can't drink water. If you don't drink water, you're going to die. If you drink water, you're not going to die. Right. Either that. So we've got to bring it to public notice. Like, yeah, you know, you turn on and mention to this fact that it's advisable not to see. So I would turn on and say, okay, right, fine. It doesn't validate my, it doesn't break my rosa. I can see television, no problems. But what my argument up here is that, you know, we've got to bring it to notice of the public itself that it's either, if you have a look at television, it is packed in Ramadan or out of Ramadan. If you pack bite in Ramadan or out of Ramadan, the same masala applies, that it is not permissible at all. So the very same thing with the scene of television. Either you sit in Ramadan with Rosa, without Rosa, either you sit out of Ramadan with Rosa or without Rosa, it is not permissible. Because by turning around and saying it is not advisable, we are condoning an act which is not permissible.
I hear where you come from, and I like your Urdu phrase,
yes,
also, and nice phrase you used to. So the coming from where you started, that the ulama, the fine minority which is saying permissible, is not. I do realize that the Arabs, most of the ulama of the Arabs, let alone say it is permissible, they even appear purposefully, willfully, intentionally on television. And as far as they are concerned, that it is absolutely permissible in those cases. However, I'm sure that those Arab ulama who are saying that his television is permissible, they are also putting clauses and restrictions, because they, amongst them, there are very many who are pious. However, those which I'm talking about, the minority, they are not from the Fariqa Batila or the deviated group or from the false group. They are from, putting it this way, our fraternity also, who the minority are saying that there is some room for permissibility. And what I hear where you're coming from, but there is a science called deduction by analogy, and sometimes what happens, we do not exercise the principles of deduction by analogy with its correct procedure, and we tend to make the wrong decision. However, what you are talking about is television. Inshallah, some other program I will discuss this in detail, but I appreciate your call.
Yes, my only argument is that just to, you know, avoid Muslim brothers of the Ummah itself to see television in Ramadan. You know, we could actually tell them, listen, irrespect, you use Rosa or not Rosa, you should not see in Ramadan, especially take more precautionary measures that you should see. Although you are seeing 11 months of the year television, but in Ramadan, at least try avoid seeing it completely, irrespect of precautionary measures, but you tell them that you should
not see. That is what I said, my brother, in the initial answer, that you should now come into a habit that of not watching it at all. I have stated that in my answer. Alhamdulillah.
Walaikum salam. We've got another sister called in, and she says that from what age should a mother order a child to commence fasting?
As far as fasting is concerned, that the mother, let us first say, when does this fasting become obligatory? The fasting will become obligatory, that means validity for the fast of Ramadan will be that it should be the month of Ramadan. Secondly, that the person who's fasting should be a major, meaning a mature adult. It is not obligatory on minors. Then the person who's fasting should be sane. And then the person also must know that the fast is obligatory upon Muslims. And he must not be one having one of the 10 excuses for not fasting. Then upon such a person, fasting is obligatory. However, now maturity, buluh means here in this case not mental maturity but physical maturity. So it could be 9 years for a boy and 11 years for a girl, meaning 9 years for a boy when he experiences perhaps a wet dream, or hair begins to grow in pubic areas, or moustache begins, hair begins to grow in that area, or the voice begins to crack. Females, the golden rule for the females will be that when menstruation commences, that will be now the golden rule, declaring that young girl has now become mature bali. So we have got those maturity signs. Now the parent should encourage the children to fast from 7 or 8, but also should not make this a burden upon them. We should encourage the children to fast and give them some reward, some incentive and some praises, and help them along so that they can fast. But do not beat them, do not hit them, do not scold them, do not chide them, and do not put undue pressure on them. But you should encourage them, make them fast half day, then make them fast the next half day, and then combine it 3/4 day, and encourage them so that they come used to fasting and this becomes habitual.
Yes, the next one we have is a medical one about a suppository. When a person is fasting, get a suppository be used, and yes or no?
First of all, suppository means that medication which the doctor prescribes for a patient which is inserted from the posterior of the individual. That is suppository.
Yes.
Now, because Ismail Bhai, he knows what suppository is, we'll have to explain what actually it is. Now, if a person utilizes suppository or inserts any medication, whether it is via the nose or via the mouth or via the front or the via the posterior, it will invalidate the fast. It will break the fast. So our advice is to go back to your medical practitioner and request that can you use this suppository non-fasting time. Because non-fasting time, there is great allowances that a person can utilize the medication after breaking fast. And he's got from after breaking fast, that is about from 6:45 right up till 3:30, 3:44 to utilize his suppository or medication orally. So the doctor will prescribe how to utilize the suppository.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. So the number to dial this afternoon is 854-6854, and we're taking on your calls if you have any questions or queries relating to any aspect of fasting. And with me is Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and he will be able to gladly answer your questions. Let's go on to some of the aspects. I think you've got a case of conditions for validity of fasting and so forth. Can we just go to some of them?
However, before I do that, let me just satisfy myself by completing one answer, because you asked me the question of suppository, and prior to that was how to encourage your children, because this is important. As far as the children are concerned, one is to make them fast, but we must reward them and be very helpful towards them. The other thing that I want to mention about is, especially in this month, that the parents send the children to the masajid. And we are getting numerous calls that the children are making noise in the masjid, they are running a racket in the masjid, troubling the hufaz and the imams in the masjid. And when some elderly person decides to make an announcement or say that brothers, do not bring your children to the masjid prior to educating them, then there is a lot of voices raised in the masjid, and the people do not take this very well. I appeal to you that if you are taking your child to the masjid, please educate him. Teach him the ethics. Otherwise, do not take him to the masjid.
Yes, I want to continue with that one there, because I've had some callers calling in. Is there any way that we can educate parents and ask them what is to be done? So maybe we'll take on that. We've got a call online. My sister, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. We'll have to try one more. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can definitely carry on.
What I'd like to know is my husband is asthmatic, and he uses a ventilant pump during the day. Is it valid during Rosa time?
He uses a asthmatic pump. Now, can he not use the asthmatic pump after iftari?
He does use it, but sometimes during the day he gets an asthmatic attack and he has to use it.
Can he not get an injection?
I don't know. We'll have to find out from the doctor.
See, if he can get an injection when he gets an asthmatic attack, then inshallah the injection to relieve him will not break the fast. Our research is showing that there are two types of asthmatic pumps. And one is a rotor pump and one is a wet pump. Both these pumps here eventually leave some molecules behind the throat which break the fast. So a dry pump or a wet pump will break the fast. But when a person gets an asthmatic attack and he is forced due to circumstances to use a pump, then his fast will break, but he will have to make only qaza of the fast. There will not be kafara. However, I advise that you go to the doctor and request him that whenever your husband gets an attack, he may give an injection. The injection will not invalidate. The injection will not break that fast.
Jazakumullah for your call. We've got another sister online for this time. Assalamu alaikum. Do we have the caller still online? Assalamu alaikum. I don't know if we've got that caller.
I'd like to ask Mr.
Okay, carry on. Assalamu alaikum. Please carry on.
I'd like to ask Mr. Saab, it's not actually directly with fasting, it's got to do with Ramadan.
Jee.
It's okay. Regarding Tarawih.
Carry on.
Daily Tarawih. I've only recently, maybe from our upbringing, we didn't find out before we got men only should perform Tarawih, but I found out recently that women also have to perform Tarawih. Is it correct to say, Mokida? Because I've missed already many years of my life. Or is it, would those be maaf, and obviously I have to carry on from now, even though I'm not a hafiza.
Okay.
Jazakumullah for your question. Yes.
First of all, understand directly the answer that Tarawih Salat is sunnat and mu'akkada for both male and female. So let us establish and understand that.
Okay, maybe we should just quickly explain to what mu'akkada is, sunnat and mu'akkada. Maybe if it will just clarify the issue, it will make it very much easier.
Okay. Now we'll have to go into another discussion, Ismail, that will take long. One is sunnat a mu'akkada, one is sunnat a ghair mu'akkada, one is sunnat a huda, and what you call, one will lead to nafil and mustahab. However, sunnat a mu'akkada. Sunnat, first of all, means, yeah, jurisprudently speaking, that it has been proven that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should do it. And sunnat a mu'akkada will mean that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should do it regularly, constantly, but now and then, very now and then, leave it out. As far as sunnat a ghair mu'akkada, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should do it, but he should leave it out quite often, or say often, not quite often, often. He should leave it out more often than sunnat a mu'akkada. So sunnat a mu'akkada, to reiterate, will be Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should do it regularly, constantly, but very rarely leave it out. So Tarawih Salat will be sunnat a mu'akkada. That means it will be that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it regularly, constantly, without any break, without if a person perhaps has got a valid reason, he may leave it out. So the performance of Taraweeh Salat will be Sunnah and Muakkada for both male and female. The questionnaire stated that previously they did not know that Taraweeh Salat is compulsory or not compulsory, Sunnah and Muakkada for both male and female, so that he were not performing it. Now understand another rule in Sharia. As far as qaza, recompensation is concerned, there is qaza for faras, that means there is qaza for obligatory salat. A person misses Zuhr salat, so there is qaza for that. And if a person misses a wajib, for example, a person misses witr wajib, there is qaza for that. But if a person misses sunnah, there is no qaza for sunnah. There is no qaza for sunnah. Yes, if a person makes qaza for sunnah, it is very good, laudable, rewardable, and it is a nice action. Here, because the lady did not make Taraweeh Salat previously, and now on information, on her new knowledge, has decided to make the Taraweeh Salat, then she should make Tawbah Salat, that Ya Allah, I did not make Taraweeh Salat previously due to my ignorance, and from now onwards, should make the Taraweeh Salat regularly, constantly, regarding it as Sunnat and Muakkada.
Yes, I think our other question was that she's not a Hafiza, so perhaps she could read the surahs that she
knows. Okay, yes. If she is not Hafiza, that for the validity for Taraweeh Salat, in some masjid in remote areas where they do not have Hafiza, they also resort to this. They read from Alam Tara downwards, 10 surahs. And when they finish the 10 surahs, then in the 11th rakat they go back to Alam Tara, and in the 20th rakat they read the last surah, Surah Nas. So it does not mean that a person has to be a hafiz or hafiza to perform the Taraweeh Salat. Here, while you raise that issue, let's say if there is someone out there who only knows two surahs, Surah Fatiha and two surahs. So for all the rakats now, all the 20 rakats, that person will read Surah Fatiha and the one surah that the person knows in the first rakat, Surah Fatiha, the next surah that the person knows in Salat. Let us say that hypothetically speaking, that this person, a person only knows one surah, only one surah, and he has to make Taraweeh Salat. Then he'll make Surah Fatiha and that one surah in the first rakat. And Surah Fatiha and that same surah in the next rakat, but make a concerted effort to learn the short surah. The short surah is only 3 ayats in the Atayna Kalkonsar, and then a person can progress after.
Jazakumullah. And the number to dial today is 854-6854 with me, Mufti Abdul Ilyas, and we're taking on your calls pertaining to any aspect of Ramadan, inshallah. We've had a caller saying, is a brother suffering from asthma? Who called in, she has a recipe and has some information, so you could call the front desk on 854-7022-023 and they'll give you that information. So the brother suffering from asthma, if you can call in to the radio station, inshallah, they have some information which they'd like to share with you. Because we've got a number of questions that have been passed on to me in the interim. The next one says, I'm completely paralyzed. When I fast, it becomes worse. But if I take medication, it is okay. Can I avoid fasting?
As far as paralysis are concerned, now you will go to the doctor and assess that can you take some injections or can you take medication when is not the time of fasting, meaning after iftari, before sehri, after iftari and before sehri. So if by taking the medications, oral medications, you are fit enough to fast, then paralysis is no tremendous valid excuse for not fasting. If a person is paralyzed or paraplegic and can manage the fast, then he should try and keep that fast and take the medication in the non-fasting hours or minutes.
We've got a sister online. Assalamu alaikum. Have we lost that call? Assalamu alaikum. Yes, I think we've got it. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask Manana a question, please. I'm 9 months pregnant, and yes, I fasted, but today I'm fasting and I'm feeling very sick. I'm feeling very, like, faint. So I wanted to know, is it possible for me to break my fast, or do I have to keep, like, the rest of the fast?
At this stage, you are feeling very weak.
Yeah, I'm 9 months still, like, I just have 2 more weeks left.
No, at this stage of this fast, today's fast, you are feeling very weak.
Yeah, today I don't feel so well.
So can you manage the fast today?
And you know, that's what I want to ask you. So not about to break your fast, you
if
know?
If you are feeling faint and you're going to become unconscious and you are feeling weak, then it is permissible for you to break the fast. Yes. However, now because you are feeling weak and you cannot manage the fast due to your condition, then it is permissible for you to miss the fast, forgo the fast, and after Ramadan, when you are well, you can make qaza of the fast. And as explained previously, that the missed fast, you do not have to keep one after the other. You will keep it three times a month or four times a month, how you feel.
Okay.
Walaikum salam. And we've got brother Abdullah. Okay, while we're waiting for Abdullah to come through, it says, can a person donate blood or have blood test while fasting?
Blood test, I presume, will be for diabetes or any other test which the doctor wants you to do. My general rule is that blood test or removal of blood will not invalidate the fast. The fast will be intact, and by removing blood, by taking out of the blood, for whatever reason, the fast will be intact, it will not break.
We've got a call online, Brother Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Salaam. I wanted to know, my mother wants to know that if you are on hormone replacement therapy tablet and you start bleeding, can you still fast while you are in this condition?
The medication that is taken, definitely, I presume it is taken during non-fasting hours.
Yeah.
So, because of that, you should assess now whether the bleeding is haze or whether the bleeding is due to ailment. If the bleeding is due to haze, that means, you know, in haze, in menstruation, the ladies do not fast. But if the bleeding is due to istihaza, due to ailment and sickness, then that will not invalidate the fast. What I suggest that you assess, your mother to assess whether this bleeding is due to the medication or whether this bleeding is due to the normal haze pattern, normal monthly menstruation pattern. If it is coinciding with the normal days, then that will be classified as haze menstruation bleeding. But if it is due to ailment, illness, or due to the reaction of the tablets and medication, then that is istihaza, that is blood discharge due to ailment, that will not invalidate the fast.
JazakAllah for that.
Okay, I just got one question. Yeah, if you keep a fast and a full fast in Shaban, but a fast broke because of cyclic bleeding, do you have to still keep this fast first and then keep the sixth fast of Shawwal?
No, you can.
Okay, I'll just put the phone down now, okay?
Okay. You can keep the sixth fast and then after that the Qaza fast of that broken fast.
So it can be done, you first keep the
Shawwal fast
yeah. And keep it.
And the Shawwal fast also, while we're at it, those also, the six fast after Shawwal, they also do not have to be done one after the other.
Yes.
You can fast one day and then have break for 2 days and then they have another fast. Generally, people, what they do, while we are at the topic, they complete the fast of Ramadan. Then they keep, they have Eid. Then they keep the six fast and then they declare second Eid. They say, we are having second Eid. That's what you have in second Eid. He said, no, I fasted. Now, 6 fasts, now you got second yid. Second yid concept is baseless, vain, is innovation, and is not proven in general.
So, come now, we're going to go for an air break. Stay tuned.
Juicy fruit. Apples and nectarines.
5 minutes to three. If you just tuned to Radio Islam, meeting with 1548, and with me is Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and we're talking Ramadan, all aspects of Ramadan. And we've had a number of callers calling in already, and I've got a number of questions that have been given to Mufti Saab. Let's continue with this. The next one is, my sister wants to know what is permissible as far as relationship are between man and wife are concerned with regards to fasting. Can they hug and so forth?
As far as the relationship between the husband and wife, there is a very interesting hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated, Sahaba Ikram, companions were seated around him. One person came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that, Ya Rasulullah, that can I kiss my wife while fasting? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, you may do so. In that same gathering, another person came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, and repeated, in fact, he asked the same question, Ya Rasulullah, can I kiss my wife? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you cannot. You cannot do so. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Al-Bayin, who were seated there, they asked, that, Ya Rasulullah, that question was same and the answer was different. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. He said that for the person who I said it is permissible, he is an elderly person. And an elderly person is disciplined generally, and he will be able to restrict himself, control himself. Whilst the person whom I said it is not permissible was a young person. And obviously, he will not have so much control. So what we learn from this is that every individual, husband and wife, should decide how much control they have got and how much discipline they have got. If they've got little discipline or no discipline, then they should try to stay away. Otherwise, one action will lead to another action, and unfortunately, they may have relationship, and once that happens, once relationship takes place, then the person involved will now have to keep 60 fasts, and that fast will have to be kept one after the other. That's what we call kafara. So each individual, husband and wife, although it is permissible to kiss and hug and embrace, but it is definitely not permissible to have a relationship. That is definitely going to need for to kafara. So the individual should decide how far and what they can do. Our advice is that abstain, stay far.
Can a person take injection?
As far as the injection story is concerned, we should understand something. Although it is permissible, if you ask any alim, any molana, mufti, Sheikh, that listen, can I take an injection while fasting? Will it break my fast? They'll say, yes, it does not break your fast. It is permissible to take an injection. However, understand this. The taking of the injection is a last resort, not the first resort. That a person, he gets one small headache or some toe is paining, he decides to rush along to the doctor and tell the doctor, I cannot take this pain here, please give injection. A person, he develops a minor toothache or some pain, he decides, no, I must go to the doctor for a pain-killing injection. The injection would not invalidate the fast, but the injection taking is the last resort, not the first resort. This principle or this rider that I'm explaining has to be kept in mind. Otherwise, we are going to be making a mockery of the fast, and the spirit of the fast is going to be lost.
The next question I have is, a brother, the pronoun after sexual intercourse, is it necessary for a woman to untie her hair and to wash, or can she keep it tied up during herself?
This is supposed to come long ago, this question. However, it came now. If the water reaches the roots of the hair, if the water reaches all the roots of the hair, and in such a manner that the hair is tied, but the water is reaching all the roots of the hair, then it is permissible not to untie the hair. However, it is safer in our age to untie the hair and wash everything, the roots and all the hair.
The next question we have, what is the law regarding a musafir with regards to fasting?
Explaining again, a musafir, because those 10 reasons, I'll just read them out, Ismail, quickly, is being on a journey, number 2, sickness, ailment, number 3, pregnancy, number 4, sucking, meaning the lady is breastfeeding, 5th, intensity of hunger and thirst, 6th, weakness and old age, 7th, risk of life, 8th, unconsciousness, 9th, jihad, and 10th, insanity. Yeah, as far as journey is concerned, it will be permissible and rewarding for a person to fast on journey, especially in our age when journey has become so-called easy. Although the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that journey is a piece from the pieces of the fire, meaning that it is difficult, and journey washes away or burns away sins. Why? Because of its difficult nature. Yeah, journey, if you can manage the fast, then fast by all means. And if you feel that in Ramzan to avoid the fast, he knows the masla that the muftis have said that if a person is on journey, that he may forego the fast. He may forego the fast. So what he does, intentionally he decides to go on journey. Why? He does not want to fast. So that is not good, that is not very good, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of the unseen. He knows what's going on in our head and heart, in our bosom, and a person should avoid that.
Jazakumullah for that. We've got a call on line 1.
Assalamu alaikum.
In the morning.
Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. You're on line 1. You can go ahead.
If you forget to make an intention in the morning, that is your roza valid, or do you have to keep 60 rozas, or how does it work?
No, it's not so strict how you say it. And a person will basically niyat. Niyat is inclination of the heart. And a person, he got up for sehri. That sehri is equivalent for niyat. And the niyat for the fast of Ramadan can be made in the night or even in the day, even during the day in the morning. So the person, inshallah, he can make the niyat in the day also. In the case that you're talking about, Muhammad, when did the person make the niyat?
Say we made the niyat like after Zuhr.
After Zuhr, he made niyat of fasting.
Okay.
So what you call, the person made the niyat after Zuhr. Did he get up for sehri?
Yeah, he got up for sehri.
Well, once he got up for sehri is sufficient.
Okay.
Once he got up for sehri is sufficient. In fact, the person generally goes for Tarawih.
Okay.
To fast the next day.
Okay.
The person generally goes for Tarawih to fast for the next day. So when the person went for Tarawih even, then his fast will be valid for the next day, because that is practically making intention that I'm going to be fasting the next day. Yeah, in this case, the person made intention, he made a sehri, alhamdulillah, that is sufficient.
Okay. And Maulana, that you were talking about the injections.
Yes.
What happens about the nicotine patches? Is that permissible in Islam?
How that functions?
You know, the nicotine patches where they have for cigarettes, where you put on this patch.
Yes.
And maybe you should just give us a little bit of explanation, where is the patch put onto?
You put it onto your body. Look, you have a nicotine patch which you put onto your body.
Right.
in order to stop you craving for nicotine as such.
Right.
During while you're fasting.
Okay.
Is that permissible or not?
It will not invalidate the fast.
So what he's saying is your fast will not be broken. Is that correct, Professor?
Yes. And your fast will not be broken. It will not invalidate the fast, inshallah.
Okay, Jazakallah.
Jazakallah for your call, Muhammad. We've got a number of questions that have come in, which we'll have to run through them quite fast. It says, can a person keep qaza fast without seri?
Qaza fast, yes, it's permissible. Although he'll feel very hungry.
Okay. The next one, what are the laws regarding Tarawih Salah as far as women are concerned?
It is sunnah, the mu'akidah for women to make Tarawih Salat. They make it at their homes. And they can also combine. It is written, we have written this, and the reference is sufficient. We have made enough research on this. That in generally the masajid, after every two rakats, we make one salam. So if they want to utilize this fact, that they can make salam after four rakats if they want to, or six rakats, or eight rakats, but not more than that.
So if you're saying eight rakats, I know you've said something, so that means every two, four, six, eight, and at the eight of the end of the eight rakats,
make one salam.
One salam.
Yes.
So it means you make two eights and one four.
Two eights, one four.
That I mean, if you're wanting to do that.
That is that the ladies should can do that, so make it a little bit easy for them. And especially those ladies who've got the wuzu problem.
Okay, this is the same caller. And as far as family members are concerned, male and female together, so maybe there's a hafiz in the family, and male and female reading together in that particular family, brothers and sisters or mother, what is the position?
That will be permissible, and here we will insist that let there be mahrams only. Once we start letting ladies leave their homes and go to make Tarawih Salat with Jamaat in the locality or in the masjids, etc., this will lead to tremendous fitna because of our age. So if the Hafiz is in the house and he is leading his sister or his mother or his wife, then we will say it is permissible for that action to take place.
There's another one that's come in menstruation. I'm not sure it's not come out. I'm not sure if it's not visible. The lady says don't see blood. Gaini says nothing wrong. She says, I don't want to miss my fast. Can I keep my fast? Can I read Salah? Can I read Quran?
This lady who is experiencing this condition, she must decide in which category she falls in. Does she fall under the category of regular, known, her menstruation is known, or does she fall under the category of the menstruation that is irregular, or does she fall under the category of starting, her haze is now starting, or does she fall under the category of completely irregular? So first she must get herself classified. When she gets herself classified, then she will determine her law. If there is no blood, absolutely no blood, and it is not her time, then she may fast, and inshallah her fast will be valid. If it is her time, then if it's supposed to come and nothing has come, she may fast, her fasting will be valid, but when now her period comes, she must know there is alteration in her sequence, and she must note her sequence. Yeah, I must mention something, that it is wajib for every lady to note down her menstruation cycle, her time of coming and time of ending.
Jazakumullah, we've got two callers online. Mohammed, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Go ahead.
We want to know if you can swim in Ramzan.
You can, if you want to swim in Ramzan, it is permissible to swim in Ramzan. However, if any water goes down the throat, the fast will break, and that will make one qaza fast necessary. So if you can swim without letting any water go down your throat and without swallowing the water of the pool, etc., then it will be permissible to take a swim in Ramzan or a bath in Ramzan for refreshing purposes is permissible.
JazakAllah. We've got a sister on line 4. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramzan Mubarak Snatayan Mulana. I'd like you to answer one question. Tarawih, can you read it later at night or must it be read on time?
Sorry, when you mean later at night?
Later, like the usual time is they start from half past 8. So sometimes I manage to read it after 11. Is it okay?
Okay, sir.
Tarawih Salat, as far as it is concerned, that Isha Salat, let us take that first. Isha Salat ends when the time of Sehri ends. Tahajjud Salat ends when the time of Sehri ends. So, Tarawih Salat time ends when the time of Sehri ends. So, a person, technically speaking, can make Isha Salat, then rest for a while, then at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, can make Tarawih Salat, then make the Witr, and after that prepare for Sehri or Salatul Layl or whatever it is.
JazakAllah. The number to dial this afternoon is 854-6854, and don't forget it about 3:15, or we'll be opening our pledge line and we'll be raising money for Afghanistan. And in the studio will be Maulana Yahya Bam, and you'll be joined by Maulana Muhammad Monia, and Maulana Yusuf Monia. I do apologize for that. And they will be in the studio at about 3:15, inshallah. We continue, and the next question is, can one extract a tooth while fasting, and will the fast be nullified?
As far as tooth extraction in fasting is concerned, that if the dentist is very certain that whilst extracting the tooth, no water or blood goes down the throat, so the dentist has to be responsible, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and responsible for the patient's fast. It is far better, and we appeal to the Muslim dentists that they should have some facilities during Ramadan, that those who want to have some treatment or extractions, they should open their surgeries after iftari till Sehri. Perhaps they can alter the hours. Allah Ta'ala will give them a lot of barakat. It will be earning money and serving the cause of deen also. However, the extraction has to be done without any blood or water or fluid or anything going down the throat. Whilst extracting, if any blood, fluid, water goes down the throat, the fast will be invalidated. It will make one qaza fast compulsory.
JazakAllah. The next one we have from a sister who says, a father recently suffered a major heart attack and is on medication for diabetes as well. Can he now give kafara in lieu of fast because of his condition, or is he compelled to keep the fast, especially so because he has never missed fasting in the past?
Yeah, as I stated previously, the golden rule is that the patient himself or herself should decide, irrespective whether there was a double bypass or triple bypass or whatever it is, the patient must decide that, can I keep the fast? Will I be able to keep the fast? If I keep the fast, will it be detrimental to my health? Will my health deteriorate? Will I become more ill or weak or feeble? So the patient will make the fatwa. If the patient can keep the fast, the patient should be encouraged. However, in this case, it looks like a valid excuse not to keep the fast, but the patient must make the decision whether to keep the fast or not.
JazakAllah. We've got another call online. This time it's an anonymous sister. Assalamu alaikum. I think we've lost that caller. We definitely have lost that caller. The next question we have is, his sister has an 11-year-old daughter who insists on fasting. The child is now busy with imtihan and is felt that her results will suffer as fasting makes her weak. What should the mother prioritize in this instance?
If it is compulsory, if it is obligatory, if it is farz upon the child to keep, the child meaning the mature person to keep that fast, and there is an examination, then
the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be given preference irrespective of the exams. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely be given preference, and the person will keep the fast. If fasting is not obligatory upon the person, and this person is 10 years or 11 years and not yet baligh, and I've explained baligh, then the mother and the child should jointly decide and discuss whether I keep the fast and it becomes so weak that it will affect my exams. If a person becomes so weak that it's going to affect the exams, then there is some room for not keeping that fast. But once I said when the person has become baligh, then there is no question of exam or interview or whatever it is. No, that's not a valid excuse. The person will keep the fast and inshallah will do very well in the forthcoming exam or the exam that is written during the time of fasting. When a person is fasting, and out of experience we can say that when a person is fasting, then his senses are far more alert and inshallah will be able to answer very well.
Yes, we've continued with the question on the children, because we've had people calling in and saying, you know, that children become definitely in some instances troublesome, and in certain instances we have nasty results, you know, because if an adult reprimands a particular child, we find that this leads to a lot of difficulties in the masjid. What advice do we have for parents?
First of all, the ages of the children should be taken into consideration. At certain age, especially when the child does not know where to urinate or pass stool, and definitely those children must stay at home. It is rather unfortunate that in certain areas, because the father is a wealthy fellow, or he's trusty, or he's got some say in the masjid, or he's doing something for the community, so-called big shot in the community, he brings his child along there who urinates on the carpet. And this causes havoc for them, because they'll have to mark that place, clean that place, and purify that place. This is totally unbecoming of any Muslim individual, irrespective of his position, to bring such a child to the masjid, to a place of worship, so whilst the child does not even understand the concept of taharat, purity, paki and napaki. Then we get those children upon whom salat is not farz. Salat is not obligatory. The parents bring the child, the father brings the child and insist that the child stands near him in salat. And when the imam makes an announcement that all children must go in the back, then the father says, no, my child does not go in the back. And if that person is influential, he makes it difficult upon the imam. And he says, why? What authority has that imam to say that my child must go in the back? The imam is just repeating the law of Shariat, that the children must go in the back and the adults must be in the front. So there is no flaw fault of the imam that he is making such an announcement. He is saying very clearly the law of Shariat, that the children must stay in the back. Then we get children who come in the back, and whilst the imam is reciting, let alone the Taraweeh Salat, the Isha Salat, they are clapping hands, they are fighting, they are kicking each other, they are coughing unnecessarily, they are laughing, giggling, and they are running in the masjids. And this is totally wrong. You either teach the child how to behave in the masjid, and teach them the etiquettes of the masjid, the better course of action, not to bring them at all in the masjid. Here, in certain masjids I have seen, two or three alims stay in the back. And now and then, for the first one, two tarawees, then you hear one thunderclap. One of them has landed or slept on the child, one of the children. That sorts the problem out. Although it is hard a little bit, but for the whole of Ramadan you have no difficulty after that. But that is when the community is ready for such an action. And the Imam also, he's reprimanded when he tells the public that, listen, your children are making too much noise, control them. They say, oh, we're paying the Imam to make Taraweeh, he must just carry on making his Taraweeh. We're paying the Imam to make the Isha, he mustn't worry about our children. Then we got another problem, Ismail Bhai, that the children read the Isha Salat and disappear into the car lots. And those areas where there are some cafes available, the children go and buy whatever they want to buy, and they have a picnic in those car lots. Still further, and most disgusting, certain children go into the park lots and the car lots, breaking off the emblems of the cars. And here also, unfortunately, because we want to become a little bit rebellious and militant, then the children say, oh, that man there, he objected, we mustn't come to the masjid. So poor chap, when he comes out, then he's got a flat tire. Why? They take revenge on him. So all these activities that are going on, the fathers of the children must decide firmly, are they going to reprimand the children? Are they going to talk to the children? And they have to address this problem. The best course of action is that the imams and the ulama must be allowed certain amount of authority to reprimand firmly and sternly the children who make noise in the masjids.
JazakAllah for that. We're going to go for an air break. When we come back, we'll continue inshallah. This afternoon, we've just tuned Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548, and our guest for today is Mufti Afzal Ilyas, and we're taking on questions pertaining to Ramadan. Don't forget, after this particular program, we're going to be having our pledge line, and in the studio will be Maulana Yahya Bam, and we're joined by Maulana Yusuf Monia. We've got a number of questions. Questions are still coming in, and the next one says, Sister, can a person make multiple khatams at one time? That is, start another one before completing the first khatam.
Although this action is permissible, it is not very good, because you are going to lose track, and I do not see the purpose of doing this. It is best to start the Quran and make a khatam at a time. To have this multiple khatam, although it is permissible, you are going to get rewarded for any Quran that you recite, and it is not advisable to do such an action.
The next one, sister says she is very obsessive about cleanliness, but feels that kitabs don't go far enough with regard to what is permissible as far as this is concerned. Example, how much water, etc., is necessary to achieve complete cleanliness. So, you know, she must be perhaps asking, can she wash her hands until she thinks she's completely satisfied with that?
As far as that is concerned, what is cleanliness as far as wuzu is concerned, and what is cleanliness as far as going to toilet is concerned? So as far as wuzu is concerned, that once a person washes three times, that is why Shariat has made this figure three, that a person washes and within three times, then wash it, and after that regard yourself as clean and carry on with life. As far as the toilet is concerned, before I do that, a person who washes the fourth time will eventually become a doubtful person. So wash properly three times and then start the next limb to wash. As far as toilet is concerned, we have explained in our Taharat programs over length detail that whilst washing, that the female, once she experiences and she feels roughness in the area washed, that she must regard herself clean and get up. And as far as the male are concerned, she, once they experience roughness, then they must regard themselves as clean. And the female, once they regard themselves, when they feel smoothness, then they must regard themselves as clean and get up and carry on with life.
So, the next, I think these two questions are very much similar, but I'll read both of them and you can answer them. It says, what is the law with regard to a fasting female whose menses commences during the day while fasting? And the other one says, if she menstruates before midday, is after 12, does she continue fasting or break her roza?
Once menstruation starts, then the person has got no option. The fast is automatically broken. Whether that menstruation started after Sehri, or during the day, or after Zawal, before Zawal, or just before Iftar, the fast automatically breaks once menstruation commences. Once menstruation commences, it is highly desirable that the person continues and behaves like a fasting person. Continues and behaves like a fasting person, meaning that do not eat now openly, publicly, displaying clearly that I am not fasting. If a person experiences menstruation, the fast is broken. Now, if the person eats due to weakness, illness, and hunger, then there is no problem. If the person can continue that fast, although now that person will have to make qaza of that fast, not kafara, qaza of that fast, that person will be regarded as a good person in Shariat, who, although the fast has been invalidated due to menstruation, continues and completes that so-called fast of the day. As far as the day is concerned, because the niyat, well, there was a question that a person, when till when he can make the niyat of Ramadan, a fast. First of all, understand here that each fast of Ramadan requires a separate intention. It is not like the 20 rakat tarawih. The 20 rakat tarawih, a person in the starting can say, Ya Allah, I'm making 20 rakats of tarawih. Now for every two, he does not have to renew or refreshen the niyat of tarawih salat. But contrary, a person cannot say that, Ya Allah, I'm making 30 days Ramadan fast. No. He has to make intention for each fast individually. Either by going, when you're going for tarawih, you say, Inshallah, I'm going to fast tomorrow, or the seri will be adequate substitute for the coming fast. And we have stated that a person can make the niyat if he does not go for tarawih, unfortunately, or does not get up for seri, and by the morning he must make his niyat. Now, defining what is morning in the light of Shariat. Day in the light of Shariat means the period from Subah Sadiq to sunset. That if Subah Sadiq appears at 4 a.m. and the sun sets 6 p.m., then the day will be 14 hours long and the midday will be 11 a.m. So the niyat for fasting must be before 11 a.m. Ismail, can you explain that a little bit more too?
Yes, I think what is important here is, you know, when the sun reaches its zenith, perhaps at that particular time. So, in the morning, when you go, you're saying that it's Subah Sadiq and it goes right up to.
See, Subah Sadiq we get at 4 a.m., right? And then we get sunset at 6 p.m.
Right.
Now, then the day, Islamic day, is 14 hours.
Yes, so that means it starts from
4 a.m.
4 a.m. right up to 6 p.m. Yes.
And then the day is 14 hours long, and the midday is 11 a.m.
So it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, halfway through.
Halfway through, right.
That's
exactly. So we take the time of Subah Sadiq, that's one time. And we take the time of sunset. And the number of hours, we divide it by two. And that, by before that time, the niyat has to be made. Because the one brother asked me a question, which I did not answer, that he said, can you make the niyat for fasting in Ramadan in the afternoon? So technically speaking, you cannot do it now, afternoon. Because you have to do it midday, before midday. And this midday calculation will come by taking the Subah Sadiq time and the sunset time and dividing it by two, the number of hours you get.
Jazakumullah, we got another question that's coming. Unfortunately, we come to the end of this afternoon's program. I think we'll make this the very last question. It says, can ladies read Tarawih in a set of 8 rakats or the normal 2 rakats? And is it compulsory for women to perform Tarawih Salah? You have answered both the questions, but maybe you can just recap on that.
For ladies, Tarawih Salat is also Sunnah al-Muakkadah, and they may read it in batches of 8. We explained 8, 8, 4. It is permissible to do that. Meaning after 8 rakats, one salam, the salam, and then start again, make another 8 rakats, another salam, and then 4 rakats.
Okay. The next question, the husband has suffered a burst ulcer and was advised by a doctor to refrain from fasting. Can he pay kafara or should he keep qaza?
Again, the golden rule, that the husband should be asked, can you manage the fast? If the person can manage the fast, alhamdulillah, he will be rewarded tremendously, that although having some difficulty, and he will get the true spirit of fasting, However, if he feels this is going to be detrimental to his health, truly detrimental to his health, and he's going to get weak, feeble, and go into faint stages or unconscious stages, then it is advisable for him not to fast. The patient, the rule is, the golden rule is, that the patient must make the fatwa themselves.
Okay, but the question here is, can he pay kafara or should he pay qaza? Can he?
No, no kafara. There is no kafara there.
Can he pay kafara? I think what they're saying is
fidya.
Yeah, must be fidya. Yeah.
Because kafara of a fast means 60 fast.
Okay, so
fidya. Yeah, if the person truly is a patient and cannot fast, then fidya will be given. And as you stated, that today this month of Ramadan is 9 rand sadqatul fitr, and the amount of sadqatul fitr equivalent to the fidya amount. So when sadqatul fitr is 9 rand, so the fidya will also be 9 rand.
So the question here, Mufti Sahib, is can he pay fidya or should he keep qaza? Would that be determined after the month of Ramadan if he feels well again?
Yes.
Or should he rather pay the fidya and then give the qaza and make the qaza later on? I think that is the question.
Okay, so what he must do, that he must try to keep the fast. First he must try to keep the fast, seek a fatwa from himself and keep the fast. Failing which, that end of Ramadan he can give the fidya.
Okay, and if he couldn't, then he could then, if he's well by that time, inshallah, he can then continue with the qaza.
Yes, if he's well by that time, then inshallah, he does not have to give the fidya. He can make qaza, one fast for one fast, not necessarily to be one after the other. Next week, we come in to answer.
Inshallah, we do questions pertaining to Ramadan as well as zakat, inshallah. So we will take next week all calls, continuing with whatever questions you have with Ramadan, but we'll also continue, and our focus will be on zakat next week, inshallah. I said it was the last question, but I've got another one that has been passed to me. It said, sister had a change of life 4 years ago, and is on hormone treatment. 2 days before, had pink discharge, but no blood. Is it permissible to read Quran, etc.? Is this classified as a sickness or not?
When they mean change of life, I presume now perhaps the lady is got too old, and then there is no discharge at all. So there is no menstruation period for that lady. So there is no, technically speaking, monthly for that lady. She can fast all the time, read Quran all the time, make salat all the time.
So in this case, even she's had a pink discharge, there was no blood, it is permissible for her to continue reading the Quran, and it will be classified as a sickness and not a...
No, it won't be classified as istihaza. This will be classified as normal life, she can carry on. In fact, it won't be classified as haze, it will be classified as istihaza, sickness, and she can carry on. And one suggestion I got to the listeners, that they should fax in their questions on fasting and zakat, so that when we come next week, inshallah, then we have the questions in front and we can take the matter up from there.
Jazakumullah. The time now 16 minutes after 3, and with me was Mufti Afzal Ilyas, who is our regular guest in the month of Ramadan, answering your questions, queries pertaining to all aspects of Ramadan. This week we've done aspects pertaining to Ramadan itself. Next week, inshallah, we will take on questions pertaining to zakat, as well as certain aspects of Ramadan. The following week, we want to do at-tikaf, and the fourth week of Ramadan, inshallah, we want to cover aspects on Hajj. So remember that at about 1:45 every Saturday, we'll have Mufti Afzal Ilyas with us. And inshallah, after this, we're going to have our phone-in program, a pledge line, where we are collecting money for the peoples of Afghanistan. Stay tuned.